We begin the new Masechta, Masechtas Kedushin. We begin on Daf Beis. This parak opens up with, as the title of the parak is, Ha'isha Niknes, which is how a woman becomes required, which refers to the halachas of Kedushin as the name of the Masechta, which there's two phases in the marriage. There's Kedushin and Nisuin, which are generally, in today's time, done at the same time by the chuppah, where the ring is the Kedushin, and in the chuppah, there's the Yichud, which is the Nisuin. Now, in Talmudic times, there was a period of generally of 12 months of a separation between Kedushin and Nisuin. And Kedushin has its own unique halachas related to it. But as our Gemara will explain, since the terminology we use to describe the Kedushin, which part of that principle is that it's a kinyan, there's an acquisition over here that's being done to create this relationship of Kedushin, of what would commonly be called as engagement, halachic engagement between man and woman. So therefore, our parak discusses all future mishnayos related to this concept of kinyanim. How does one make an acquisition? The first one being talking about the title of this masechta, that of kedushin, which is a kinyan, and then it moves on to other different things like avadim, which also have relationships of kinyanim, how one goes ahead and acquires it. So the mishnah begins, ha'isha niknes, a woman becomes required to her husband, which again refers to the first stage of marriage, that of Kedushin, b'shalosh drachim, in three ways, as the Mishnah will explain what these three ways are. Now Rashi points out, as the Gemara will address, that this word b'shalosh, in three, is a lashon nekeva. It's in the female. In the male, in the masculine, it would be b'shalosha. Shalosh is a lashon of the came in the female. And the Gemara is going to ask, why does it say in the female terminology, when generally in the whole, throughout the Torah, when we're describing in halacha, we usually would say a lashon of zachar. So Gemara is going to address that question and other questions relating to the terminology of our halacha. Now, so there again, a woman becomes acquired to her husband, meaning kedushin, in three ways. But kainas atzma, she could acquire herself, meaning to be in her own domain, to be able to be permitted to marry someone else, meaning even if she was married, then however she could reacquire herself, b'shtei drachim, in two ways. So the Mishnah explains what are these three ways of first niknes, how a woman becomes acquired to her husband. The three ways are bekesef, with money. And the Gemara explains in the Braisa later on, daf hei mabeis, what does it mean? How do you acquire a woman? How does kedushin work with money? It's that he gives her money or something that's worth money. And he tells her, harei at mekudeshesli, you are hereby engaged to me through this ring or something that's either money or worth money, or bishtar, through a document. I mean, he writes on that piece of paper, even if it doesn't even have to be worth a shava pruta, because if it was worth a shava pruta, worth the lowest denomination of money, then it already would have the kedushin in the context of kesef. So even if it's not even worth a shava pruta, but as long as it's a document, and on it he writes, harei at mekudeshesli, that behold, you are engaged to me, and he gives her that paper, that's a second way of creating kedushin, or what it's called, erisin. And the third way is ubabia, with cohabitation. And that is, he's intimate with her, and he says, I want you to be mukadeshes to me through this bia. And the Gemara will learn out all these different halachas, where do we know these three ways, from psukim, which show us that kedushin can work through one of these three ways. Now, the Mishnah clarifies and says, bekesef, the first of these three ways that we said a woman could be acquired, again, which is the halacha of kedushin, with money. So it's a machlekes in the Mishnah, what's the minimum amount of money to be considered a kedushin? B'shamer, I mean, they say, b'dinner, with a silver dinner, which is a certain coin, u'b'shava dinner, or something that's worth a dinner. And the Gemara will explain the reason of b'shamer later on, daf yiraf m'alav, why is it such a high coin, why is that, where does he find that to be the necessary amount of kedushin? U'b'silam, however, b'sil say, b'pruta, even the lowest denomination of money, which is a pruta that's made out of copper, u'b'shava pruta, or even something that's worth a pruta, even the lowest amount is already considered kesef, and therefore that's valid for the halacha of the kinyan of kedushin. Now, v'kamehi pruta, so the Mishnah just clarifies how much is a pruta. So explains the Mishnah, echad mishmayna be'isser hitalki. It's 1/8 of the Italian isser, which is a coin made out of silver, and its value is 8 prutas. So 1/8 of that Isser HaTalki, you would know now for halacha, which is important when there's a kedushin, they have to make sure that it has the value of a pruta. How much is that? That is, as in the times of the Mishnah, people would realize that based on the Italian Isser, it's 1/8 of that, that's the value of a pruta. So again, that's the halacha of the three ways for that a woman could become engaged to her husband, kesef, shtar, or bia. Now, then we mentioned v'koines atzman, that she could reacquire herself. Even after she's already, so to speak, acquired to her husband in marriage, how can she then take back her own self to then be able to go ahead and get married to someone else? So we said that's b'shtei drachim, that's in two ways. So how is that? That's either beget, if the husband gives her a divorce document, or ubemisas abal, or with the death of the husband. Either one of those removes her from his domain, and then she can go ahead and get married to someone else. Now moving on to a related topic, hayivama niknas. A yivama, which is the wife of a man who died without any children, then she has halacha of yivama shemeris yavim, she anticipating yibum from one of her husband's brothers, that they either do yibum or chalitza to her. So on that, the Mishnah tells that yivama could be acquired to the yavam bibia, with cohabitation, and when he does be with her, then she's like his wife for all halachic purposes. In other words, if let's say after he did yibum with her, he doesn't want to remain married to her, he wants to divorce her, all he needs to give her is like a regular wife, is a get, and he doesn't have to do what is normally done by yavama of chalitza, because once he did bia, he already acquired her as a full-fledged wife. Now, however, as Rashi points out, if one would give his yavama before he consummates the relation with her, his brother died without any children, and he gives her either a shtar or kesef, which is like the other two ways we discussed in our Mishnah. There was three ways you could consummate you can create kedushin and to reconsider a wife by a regular woman, kesef, shtar, and bia. So Mishnah mentioned regarding the yavam, the way you create that relationship biblically is through bia. But regarding if he would use shtar or kesef, that wouldn't work biblically. That's actually only works rabbinically, where the rabbi said there's something called a mimer, as the Gemara explains in Masech Zivamas Daf Nun Met Aleph, where rabbinically, if you gave her the other two ways of kesef or shtar to the yavama, then rabbinically we would consider her as your wife. But it wouldn't conclusively make her your wife regarding as normally it is by a wife to inherit her, or let's say if you're going to be able to matam yourself to her, neither would it exempt her from chalitza, which means to say after doing mimer, which again is, let's say, giving the yavama kesef, money, or shtar, a document, if you didn't want to remain married with her, it wouldn't be enough to do get, as in the case of you had done bia, rather you'd still have to do chalitza too. Rather, the only essence, really, what a mimer really helps to do is that she becomes puzzle, invalidated from having yibum with any of the other brothers. That rabbinically is what the mimer helps to do. But biblically, the only way a yavam could acquire his yavama is through bia, one of those three ways that we mentioned regarding a regular man with a woman, regarding the creation of kiddushin. Now that's regarding the yavama being acquired to the yavam. For koines atzma, and how does a yavama acquire herself, not to be under the domain which is created through a zika bond, which is this connection that comes from Shemayim when her husband dies without any children, to her yavam, how does she reacquire herself away from the yavam? Is bechalitza uvemisa yavam, is either if that there's the procedure of chalitza done between her and the yavam, where she takes off his shoe and she spits, and they say all these different psukim, that removes her from his domain, or uvemisa yavam, with the death of the yavam, now there's no more brothers, so then she would be in her own domain. That's again the halachas of how a woman gets acquired to her husband and how she acquires herself, and how yavama gets acquired to the yavam and how she acquires herself. Now the Gemara asks, as we mentioned, on the different terminologies of the first halacha of our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, opening up this Masechta Ha'isha Niknas, a woman gets acquired, as we said, in one of three ways. Now the Gemara asks, Ma'ishna Hacha, why is it different over here in our Mishnah? The Tani Ha'isha Niknas, that we said a woman gets acquired, a lashon of a kinyan of acquisition. Or Ma'ishna Hasam, and then why is it any different in the second parak, later on the Mem Aleph and Aleph, the Tani where we learned Ha'ish Mikadish, when there it's coming to tell us halacha that it says a man could engage a woman himself, or he could have a shliach do it. So it says a man could get engaged, could engage a wife. Why over here, there it says a lashon of kiddushin, and yet over here it used the terminology of kinyanim, of acquisition, which essentially the Gemara's question is, here it should say ha'isha, not niknis, but like over there it should say ha'isha miskadeshes. A woman could become engaged in one of three ways. Why is it using this monetary terminology of that a woman could get acquired in one of three ways? So that the Gemara answers, shem dekabay lemisne kesef, because the Mishnah wanted to count, which is one of the three ways that a woman could be acquired, it wanted to tell us the kinyan of kesef, of money, which Gemara later on, Daf Gimel Beis, tells us that how do we know that a woman could be engage through money. So the Gemara there explains, because we learn that what's called kicha, kicha from state Ephraim, which is when Avraham Avinu went and purchased the Ma'arsa Machpelah from Ephraim, it used the terminology of taking. And it says the terminology of taking also over here by a man getting engaged to a woman. So, and as the Gemara explains over there, that we know that the terminology of taking is a reference of the terminology of kinyan, of acquisition. And that's how we know that the kinyan of buying a field, which is through money, applies similarly, because it says the same terminology of taking by a man and a woman. So that just like over there money works, so too over here money works. And just like over there we find that the taking of money is called a kinyan, an acquisition. So that's why the Tana also learned over here, when it's coming to tell us the halacha of getting engaged through money, and money is considered a kinyan. So that's why one of the terminologies, that's why when we're coming to define it, we use the terminology of a woman being niknas, being acquired, because one of the three ways is going to be something that is a kinyan. Now, the Gemara explains, b'kesef b'nalan. Now, where do we really know that a woman could be engaged through money? So as Rashi explains, the Gemara is not really addressing the question of the source of how do we know that a woman is engaged through money over here. The primary discussion of this topic is later on, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Here, rather, it's the Gemara who's answering the question, which was, why does it say Ha'isha Niknes? It should have said Ha'isha Miskadeshes. So the Gemara is just quoting what the Gemara is later on going to explain, because again, the whole answer of the Gemara was based on, why do we say Niknes and not Miskadeshes? Because one of the ways that a woman can be engaged is through money. And how do you know that a woman's engaged through money? We know that, as the Gemara will tell us later on, Daf Dalem and Beis, from Kicha Kicha, which, as the Gemara will prove, that's a terminology of Kinyan. Now that's why we said over here, Isha Niknes, and that's why we have to go through that whole discussion to show you this idea where that's what Kesef is called as a Kinyan, and since we wanted to mention that's one of the ways of getting engaged, that's why we said Isha Niknes, a woman could become acquired and not use the other terminology, which is Ha'isha Miskadeshes, that a woman could become engaged, as the Gemara explains. So how do you know that Kesef, that money works as a way of engaging a woman? Because Gamar Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, we learn out the terminology of taking from taking over there by the field of Ephron. Riksiv Hach, it says over here in Sefer Dvarim, Ki Yikach Ish Isha, when a man takes a woman, no, so it says taking. Riksiv Hasim says over there in Bereishis, Nesati Kesef Asada, Avram Avinu tells Ephron and says, look, I gave the money for the field. Kach Mimani, take it from me, and then give me this field that you have, this Ma'aras HaMachpelo. Now, so both of them have the terminology of taking. Now, and moreover, is that there the taking refers to an acquisition of money. So we know that that's how money works by engagement. But it's not just that we see that kesef works, but v'kicha ikri kinyan, we also find that the taking, which is a reference to the kinyan of money, is called kinyan, is called an acquisition. The chassid, like it says over there in the pasuk, hasada ashakana Avram, the field which Avram has purchased. So we see that a taking through money, which tells us that taking through money works over here, is called a kinyan. That's why our Mishnah, since one of the ways I wanted to say engagement works is through kesef, that's why we call it ha'isha niknes. Or as the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, inami, another source to show this idea that the acquisition of a field through money is called a kinyan, inami is a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says sodos by kesef yiknu, that fields with money they will purchase. Again, so we see the same idea that purchasing a field with money is considered a kinyan. So therefore, tane ha'isha niknes. That's why we said in our Mishnah, this terminology of a woman that gets acquired in one of three ways, because one of the ways is kesef, and as we just described, kesef is considered a kinyan, and exactly that's how we know from Stei Ephron that it works for kedushin, and that's why we call it ha'isha niknes. Now the Gemara asks, that's such a good explanation. If that's the case, v'nis nehasam ha'ish kinyan, then why not in the second paragraph? When we say ha'ish mekadesh, a man could engage a woman either himself or through his shliach, why does it say over there the terminology of mekadesh? If you just described that you should mention ha'ish kaina, a man could acquire a woman, either him or his shliach. Because that's actually the biblical source for at least one of the three ways of being mekadesh ha'isha. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Mi'ikara tani lishna deraisa. Originally, when we opened up the Masechta, the first Mishnah in the first parak, we first used the biblical terminology, which was, as we said, one of the three ways is kicha kicha, with taking, And that's a reference to a terminology of kinyan. So that's why we open up that isha niknis. But at the end, meaning when we move on to the second parak, tana lishna derabbanan, we then utilize another terminology to give a different description of it, which is the rabbinical terminology of engagement. Umayin lishna derabbanan, what is this rabbinic terminology that's used for the first phase of marriage called erisin? Why does it say ha'ish mikadesh? The asol akuli amak hektish, because what he essentially does, he makes her forbidden to everybody else, like hektish, which hektish is the terminology of something that's holy when you designate things to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Bedek HaBayis. Essentially what you're doing is, when someone says, this is considered hektish to me, it's saying that's forbidden to anybody else. It's designated just for Hashem. Essentially, that's what the first phase of marriage is. Because the first phase of marriage essentially doesn't really give him any rights in the woman. Neither can they be intimate. Essentially what it does is it's just making her designated just to him, in other words, and that she's forbidden to everybody else. Nisuin is the next phase of marriage when they finally consummate the relationship, and then he has rights in her, and then they could be intimate. So that's where the rabbinic terminology of the first phase of marriage of Ariusness is called Kiddushin, although in the biblical terminology that would be, as we said, at least for Kesef, that it's considered a Kinyan, that's why we say Isha Niknis, but then later on we color in the edges and call it another terminology, the rabbinical terminology of Kiddushin, which is like Hekdesh, making her forbidden to everybody else, like Hekdesh, because she's only designated to him, which was then later when they do Nisuin, then she'll be totally permitted to him. So the Gemara says, okay, we understand why we're calling her Isha Niknis. We understand why we're using the terminology of Kinyan. But, asks the Gemara, V'nisni hacha ish koina, we should say over here, just like we do in the second parak, when, yeah, I understand, here it's biblical terminology and there was rabbinical terminology, but just like over there we say ha'ish mekadesh, it's in the subject is the man. We're saying that he could be mekadesh a woman. So fine, there it's mekadesh, and here it's kaina, but let it say not ha'isha niknis, not in the subject matter being the woman that she gets acquired, but rather the man could acquire a woman in three ways. Why is the woman the subject? Whereas in the second paragraph we see clearly it's the man that's the subject. And yes, rabbinical terminology, here's biblical, but why doesn't it say ha'ish koina? So the Gemara says, Mishum de kabay la misna sefer. You're right. Really, we usually say that, especially regarding Kiddushin, that the primary one who's doing the kinyan is the man. But since we wanted to learn at the end of our Mishnah, where it says v'koina es atzma, that, so that's regarding a woman being acquired to her husband. But then she could also acquire herself, we said, in one of two ways, which is the subject matter over there is bidida, is regards to herself. So tamaname reisha bidida, that's why the reisha also spoke about it in the subject matter being herself, only because the sefer, if we didn't have the sefer, we would have said her ishkaina, that a man could acquire a woman in one of three ways. But since the sefer had to talk about something that she is the subject, regarding when she acquires herself, that's why the reisha also spoke about it in regards to the woman. Now, however, the Gemara does ask, but why? V'nisni, but let us learn in our Mishnah, ha'ishkaina, the man acquires a woman one of three ways, umakna, and he could acquire herself to herself in one of two ways. In other words, we could have still made even the sefer, the husband being the subject matter, where one is him taking her, and one is him releasing her. So why does she have to be the subject matter in the reisha because of the sefer? Because the sefer is, oh, when she's acquiring herself back, that's what I have to say in the reisha when she's being acquired to him. But why? Why can't we say him the subject and saying when he acquires her and when he releases her? So the Gemara says no, because mishum de'ika, because there is in one of these two ways that we said that a woman could acquire herself. One of them is misa sabal, is the death of the husband. One is divorce and one is the death of the husband. De'lav ihu kamakni, he's not acquiring herself to herself by his death. Yeah, by gerushin, that's what he's doing. He's giving her the get and he's being makna herself to herself. But by death, it's from heaven that they're acquiring herself to herself. In other words, it's through the hand of heaven that he ends up dying. It's where it's happening from, and he's not being maknitar. So again, therefore, the sefer had to be, because at least one of the two ways, that she's the subject matter. That's why the ratio we said her isha niknis and not her ish kaina. Or v'iboyisema, or if you want, you can say, the reason why we didn't say her ish kaina is because itana kaina, had we learned the way you asked, that as we learn in the second parak, that ha'ish kaina, and specifically here because here we're using the terminology of kaina, unlike over there which we use makadish, if we would say a man could acquire a woman in one of three ways, hava mina afil bakarcha, we would have thought to say that that could even be against her will, meaning a person could acquire, just like you want to buy something. It's your volition. It's your choice. So we would think that then a person could acquire a woman even against her own will. So Tana Isha Niknes, that's why we learned that a woman could be acquired, that she's the subject. The Midaita, and it's only with her consent she could become engaged. Shaloi Midaita Loi. But without her consent, she cannot. That's why we put her as the subject to show that she has that choice. So that again answers, A, first of all, why we use the terminology of Ha'isha, not Ha'ish. That's the first word of our Masechta. And then the second word was Niknes, which explained why it say Kinyan and not Kedushin. Now the Gemara moves on to ask a different question, which is the next word in the Mishnah. Umay iri the Tani Shalish. Why? And we alluded to this question from Rashi in the Mishnah. Why does it say that Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalish Drachim in three ways? Which, as we pointed out, the word Shalish is a female terminology. Listni Shleisha, it should say with three in the masculine, which is Shleisha, not Shalish, which, as Tesis tells us, because throughout the entire Torah, we generally say things in the masculine. And that's who we're coming, that's how we reference things. So why does it say Shalish in our Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, Mishim de Kabay Lemisni Derech. And that's related to the next word of the Mishnah. Because we wanted to say Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalish Drachim in three ways. Now, B'Derech Lashon HaKevuhu. The term derech, path, way, is a female terminology. Like it says the pasuk in Shemais. It says that Hashem tells v'hidatalem as a derech yelchuba, that you will notify the Jewish people the path, the way that they should go in har. Ba is female. Masculine would be boy. So we see that derech is a lashon nekeva. So since our Mishnah wanted to say the word drachim, that's why he uses shalish, female, because the word drachim, derech, is a female terminology. Now, the Gemara asks on this, but if that's the case, be'alohad etanya, but then this that we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Zavim, that says, b'shiba drachim b'it kines azav. There are seven different drachim, seven different ways that we inspect a zav, which is a man that has a certain type of emission that comes out of his body, which if he is a zav, he has certain halachas of tumah that come along with that. But there's seven different inspections that we do to him to find out if he really had what's called ziva, or if it was what's called an oinis, something beyond his control, something that forced it out of his body, which we check if he had too much food or drink, or if it was an illness, or if he carried something heavy, or if he jumped, or if he saw something, or if he thought about something, that if it actually was one of these different variables, that would be considered an oinis, and actually he would then be tahar. Because the Torah tells him, it says that if he has zav mibsarei from his flesh, which the Gemara there interprets means to say that it comes from his flesh by itself, not if something forced it out. Whereas in contrast, as the Gemara was shortly explained, by a woman, she becomes tamei from her ziva, even if it was ba'inis. As the Gemara tells us in Nida Daf Lamed Vav Mabez, when the Torah tells us, ki yazuv zoiv dama, that terminology tells us that even if it comes out ba'inis. But by a man, there's seven different things we check by him to see if maybe they caused it, and then he'd be tahar. So on that, the Gemara asked, Nisni Sheva, based on the way you just answered for the halacha of our Mishnah, why it says shalish in the female because it uses derech, then why in that Mishnah, when it also used the word drachim, does it say b'shiva, that it says it in the masculine, when it should say sheva, which that's the female, and you said the word derech is a lash in the keva. So answers the Gemara, b'shim de kaboy lemisni derech. You want to know why that Mishnah tells it to us in a lashon of zachar? Because it wanted to say the word derech, which it does. It says way. The ashkeron derech deker loshen zacher, because the word path, the word way, is actually a masculine terminology. The chesed, like it says the pasuk in Devar, it says b'derech echad yetsu alach. It says that when your enemies against the Jewish people are going to come and fight against you, in one way will they come towards you, but b'shiva drachem yenusu lefenecha. But in seven ways they will flee from you. So they'll all come in one way, but they're going to run away in different directions. They're going to be running away from you. So you see from that pasuk, it says echad, not achas, and it says shiva, where that's all. Those are both terminologies of zachar, and it says derech. So you see lashon zachar. That's why when the Mishnah talks about b'shiva drachem, it uses a lashon of zachar because derech is lashon zachar. So the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, now really difficult. Kashu kra'ad dadi. Now you have a contradiction in the psukim regarding if derech is a lashon zachar or lashon nekeva. And Bakashi Nam must need not Dodi. Now the contradiction in the Mishnah is if the word derech is a Lashon Zachar, a Lashon Nekeva. Because you first explained that in our Mishnah it used a Lashon of Nekeva because it wants to use derech, as you brought from a pasuk in Shemais that derech is a Lashon of Nekeva. Then you say from the Mishnah Masech Lezavim that the reason why it says Lashon Zachar is because it says derech, and you brought a pasuk in the Vam that shows derech is a Lashon Zachar. So is derech a Nekeva or is it Zachar? So now the Gemara says, Kroy Adodi Loi Kashin. First it resolves the Pesukim. The Pesukim are not contradictory. Why? Hacha here, in the first pasuk that we brought in Shemais, the Betoyrakoi, that's a reference when it talks about that you will let them know the way that they should follow, is a reference to following and heeding the Torah. The Torah Ikri Lashon Nekeva. Torah is called in the feminine. Looks like it says a pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Torah Hashem Temima. The Torah of Hashem is complete. If it was Zachar, it would say Tamim. It says Tamima, which is a female, Mishivas Nafesh, it restores the soul. So Torah we see is feminine, so Kasab Labalash Nekeva. That's why when the Torah used the terminology of Derech, which way? That all depends on the context of what the content is talking about. It's talking about Torah over there, Vaidatma Masad Derech, Asher Yelchu, it's going to say Ba. Because Derech depends on what you're discussing. What way is it? It's the way of Torah. Torah is feminine, so derech is going to require feminine terminology. Hasam of the other pasuk in Devarim Dibe Melchama Koi, which is a reference regarding when there's war between the Jewish people and other people. The Darkishal Ish Lasis Melchama. Yes, it's talking about the way, but what way? The way of war. Whose way is it to fight war? It's the way of a man to fight in the war. The Darkishal Ish Lasis Melchama. It's not normative for a woman to fight in the war. So Kasav Labalash and Zachar. That's why when that pasuk is talking about the way, way is the whatever the way of the content, and the content there is war, so of course it's going to say in the Lashon Zachar. So the Pesukim are not difficult. Moreover, says the Gemara, Masnina Dodi Loikash, and so too the Mishnayos are also not contradictory. Why? Hacha, over here in our Mishnah Masech Kedushin, which, yes, we wanted to say the terminology of Derech. And as we prove from a Pasig, Derech could mean either or, but over here in our Mishnah, Delegabe Ishakoi, which the subject matter is a woman, as we said, that we specifically picked a woman to be the subject. So we're talking about Ha'isha Niknis. Well, Ketani Labalash Nekeva, since we want to say Durachim. Now, Durachim could mean either or, but it depends on the content. What's the content of our Mishnah? A woman. A woman is Lash Nekeva. That's why we say Bishalish Durachim and not Bishalish Durachim. Hasam Delegabe Ishkoi, there in the Mishnah Masech Zavim, where who's the subject matter? It's a man. It's a Zav. Why? Why is it talking about only the man over there? Because as we explained before, that the Mishnah there is discussing the different ways that we inspect and investigate what caused the ziva to come out. The darkishal ishli bother, because it's only the derech, and this is an important word over here that we're using by all these things, because that's going to be, as the Gemara will explain, why we're using the terminology of derechim. It's the way of a man to become inspected, the in darkishal ishli bother, and it's not the normative process to inspect a woman what caused her to have this ziva, this emission coming out of her body. Why? Because as we mentioned before, a woman becomes tami from her ziva, even if it was through einus, there's no point in checking if something else caused it. It wouldn't make a difference. It would anyways cause her. So the only subject of that Mishnah is a man who it's regarding a zav, so tani lashon zachar. Since over there we wanted to, as we'll shortly explain, mention drachim, like we wanted to mention in our Mishnah. So, but what is Drachim's terminology? It depends on the content. So there that it's told by regarding the masculine, told about a man, that's why I use a Lashon of Zachar. So the Gemara says, fine, that we understand that Derech can mean either or, and that's why it depends on the content, and therefore in our Mishnah where it's the Isha, we use a Lashon Nekeva. But asks the Gemara, my tami tami tani shalosh. What's the reason why you said that in our Mishnah we used a Lashon Nekeva of shalosh? So you said, Mishum Derachim, because since we're using the terminology of derech, of the way, a woman could be acquired in one of three ways, and you said that, okay, so ways then defines what's it going to be in the keva or zacha, depending on the subject matter, which by us is a female. But ask the Gemara, nisni dvarim, so don't use drachim. Let it say in three ways, in three things, with three things. Ha'isha niknis b'shloisha devarim, with three things, which is kesef, shtar, and bia, v'nisni shloisha, and then you could use the terminology that a Gemara usually uses, which is in the man term, in the masculine, and you would have said, ha'isha niknis b'shloisha devarim. Why does it say and deviate from the normative practice of saying shalish? Because it says drachim, don't use drachim, use a different word, devarim, and then you could use it as it normally says, of
of Bishleisha.
So the Gemara answers, Mishum de Kaboya Lemisna Bia. Since one of the three ways we wanted to mention is cohabitation, because as we said before, why do we say Haisha Niknis and not Haisha Miskadeshes? Is because of one of the three ways, which is Kesef, which that's the halacha that it's called a kinyan. That's why we use that terminology. So now for a different terminology in our Mishnah, why do we use the terminology of Durachim, not Devarim? That's also related to one of the other kinyanim, which is since we wanted to say Bia is one of the three ways is cohabitation. Ubia ikri derech, and cohabitation is called a way. The chesiv, like it says the pasuk in Mishlei, says v'derech gever ba'alma, that the way that a man has with a young girl, kein derech isha mina ofes, so too is the way of an unfaithful woman. So you see that the terminology referring to bia is derech. That's why we said b'shalish drachim, because since we wanted to mention bia, and that's derech. So once we're saying derech, and derech gets defined on the content, which is feminine, that's why we say b'shalish, not b'shleisha. So the Gemara is hatenech bia, that only works regarding bia. But kesev ishtar ma'ayikal emem, what are you going to say regarding money and a document? Why over there would we use the terminology of drachim? For those, we could use devarim. So the Gemara says, you're right, but mishum bia, since one of the three ways is cohabitation, so for that, for bia, we use drachim, and that's why we change it, because you're right, regarding shtar and kesev, we don't find that they're called a derech, a way. Now the Gemara asks, v'tani tarti atachada? So that's what we're doing in our Mishnah. We changed the terminology what we usually use of the masculine, because we wanted to mention derech. So by kesev and shtar, we're not going to say it in the way we normally do because of one of the three ways, which is bia. But as Rashi explains the question, we should have gone after the majority. Since kesev and shtar, which they're the majority versus the one of bia, they're not called derech. So therefore, it would have made more sense to say dvarim, and then we could have kept the pattern we usually have of talking about in the masculine. Why? Because of one of the three do we change the whole normative practice and we don't go after the majority of them? So that the Gemara answers, hanech nami tzarech bia nino. No, actually, bia is the more overarching one, because even kesev and shtar, what is the purpose of kiddushin, either through money or a document or bia? It's for the purposes of bia. In other words, to consummate the relationship, which ultimately leads to marital intimacy. So that's the purpose too. So everything really is leading towards bia. So therefore, it makes sense to use the terminology of drachim to allude to this concept of bia, because not just that one of the three ways is bia, but actually kesev and shtar leads to bia too. And that's why it makes sense to pick drachim and not say, oh, the majority doesn't apply to the word of derech, because, again, they all lead towards bia, and that's why, again, we say drachim, and since we're saying drachim, that's why we say shalish and not shleisha. Or the Gemara says, v'ibay seim, or if you want, you could say that, ha-mani, who's the Tana of our Mishnah, why by the kedushin of a woman did we find it necessary to say the terminology of drachim? And again, that answers why we said shalish not shleisha. What does derech have to do with all types of a kedushin, not just for bia, but even kesev and shtar? Because our Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Shimon, who defines that when we use the terminology of derech, it connotes that there's some type of, that's the way that it normally is. It's coming to tell you normative practice. It's telling you that that's the derech. The Tana, like we learned in the Braisa. Shimon Omer, he tells us, Memneima Amr Torah, why does the Torah say in Devarim? It says, Ki yikach ish isha, when the man will take a woman, V'loi kasav kisi lokach isha le'ish. Why doesn't the Torah say, when a woman will be taken by a man? Why does it put the man as the subject taking the woman and not the woman being taken by the man? So on that, Reb Shimon says, Memnei shedarkoi shel ish. And this is where it gets important, that's what we're talking about by kedushin. There's a certain derech, certain normative practice. And that's why in our Mishnah we use the terminology of drachim for all types of kedushin, because it's coming to tell you that there's a certain derech that applies to kedushin, which is, Memnei shedarkoi shel ish lachzar al isha. It's normal for a man to seek after a woman, and that's why we put him in the Torah, in the pasuk, as the subject. The in darko shall isha lachazar al ish, and it's not normative practice for a woman to go seeking after the man. Why is that? So Reb Shimon says, mashallah adam sha'avad lo aveda. It's analogous to a man who lost a lost object, which as Rashi points out, because on some level, the woman was taken from one of the tzlois, one of the sides of the man. That's how she was created.
ki me'ish lukacha zayis hetzer, she's called isha. So she's on some level a lost object from him. So micha is rami. So who seeks after who? It's balavei de machazor alavei dasei. It's the owner of the lost object who he seeks his lost object. The lost object doesn't seek its owner. So that's the derech. That's why by kedushin there's a certain derech that applies to it. It's the man that seeks the woman. So in our mishnah when we're talking about kedushin, we use the terminology of drachim because again it's a reference to that. There's a certain derech that applies to the kinyan of an isha, which is a man acquiring a woman and not a woman acquiring a man. That's why he gives her the ring and she doesn't give him the ring. So again, although we said her isha niknis, that was because we wanted to tell you the sefer, but the halacha of kedushin is really the man acquiring the woman. And that's what our Mishnah wants to allude to when it says drachim, that there's a certain derech that applies to it. And again, that's why the second teretz of the Gemara is saying we said derech, and because of that, we have to say the halach, the word as shalish and not as shleisha, because when you use derech, then it gets defined based on the content. Now, however, based on this second Gemara of the Gemara's answer, I mean, the Gemara's first answer said we say derech because of bia, which is called derech. Second teretz of the Gemara says it applies to all types of kedushin, to tell that there's a certain derech by kedushin. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that when we use the word derech, it comes to connote that there's a certain normative practice that applies, and that's what the word derech is coming to refer to. So the Gemara asks, b'hadit nam, but then this that we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Zavim, which we just mentioned, b'zayin drachim b'yit kemes azav, that in seven ways we inspect the zav, lisnei dvarim. Why over there? We understand that, yes, you use the term derech over there, and since the subject is masculine, that's why we use a masculine type of terminology. But why do we even use the word derech over there? Why don't we say that in seven with seven things you could inspect a man as a man that's a zav? Why is it used in seven ways? Because you just explained that the word derech usually comes to connote a certain normative practice. So the Gemara answers, yeah, there derech is coming to infer something like that too. Hasma kamash mlon, what the Mishnah there is teaching is the darka de mechli yisera, that is normative practice when you consume too much food. It's lasula de ziva. It brings towards ziva. And that's actually why that's one of the things that we checked to see that maybe that's what it caused. That was the etiology of the ziva, which would then say that it's not tame. So to badarka de mishta yaseir, it's the normative practice. When you drink too much, lasula de ziva brings towards ziva. That's why I use the term drachim to connote there's a certain derech, there's a certain path that if you go down this, it caused this thing of ziva. But the Gemara continues asking. If that's the case, v'hadit nan, this within the Mishnah Masechet Bikurim, says, estrik shava le'ilon begimel drachim. An estrik tree is similar to the halachas of a regular fruit tree in three ways. One of them is the halacha of arla, which is that the first 3 years of a fruit tree, those fruits are forbidden. Same thing applies to an estrik tree. Also is that the halacha of the next year, what's called revai, the fourth year of the tree, has certain limited halachas regarding that fourth year. And also the third area is regarding the halachas of Shemitah, which is that regarding the fruits of an esrog tree, we define what year did this fruits of the esrog tree grow in. Was it because a tree could take a long time till it produces? So if it grew in the Shemitah year, it has one halacha. If it grew not in the Shemitah year, it has a different halacha. So we consider the esrog tree like a regular fruit tree that based on what's called chanata, when it basically ripens, then it has the halacha that that's the year that it was considered that it produced it, like a tree. And meaning in contrast to yurakas, to herbs, where the year gets defined based on its likita, when it actually gets picked, not when it first ripens. So in three ways, the esrog tree is like a regular tree. And that's what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Bikurim. Ask the Gemara, listen to Devar. Why doesn't it say that an esrog tree is similar to a regular tree with three things? Why did I say in three ways? Because you said that a way comes to connote certain normative practices. What does that come to connote over there? So the Gemara says, you're right, not from that Reisha, but Mishum Deboi Masne Seifa. It's because we want to learn in the Seifa, the next phrase of that Mishnah. It said, V'le Yerik B'derech Echad. That however, for an esrog tree, it's similar to herbs in one way. What's that one way? Where it's not like a regular tree, which is that when you pick the esrig, then it's going to have the same halacha. Like when you pick the yirakis, that will define what year it's considered in regards to meiser, regarding to the tithe that you're supposed to take off. In other words, that unlike regular trees, which the halacha of its meiser also goes after chanata when it ripens, Regarding an Esrog tree, it's based on the year when you actually pick it off the tree, like by Yerachus, as Gemara will later on explain the reasoning for that. Now, as Rashi points out, because the halachas of Maisa depends on what year it's considered that it grew in. Because the first year of this seven-year Shemitah cycle, and the second year, you take off Maisa Rishon, take off the first tithe, which goes to the Levi, and then Maisa Sheni, which you have to take off an Eden Yerushalayim. So too in the second year. But in the third year, you take off Maisa Rishon for the Levi, and then the second tithe is not Maisa Sheni, but rather what's called Maisa Ani, which is you give it to the poor people. So therefore, the difference would be if, let's say, it had chanata, it ripened in the second year, but it was only picked in the third year, by other trees, it would go based on the chanata, which would be considered as Maisur Sheni. But the Esrog tree would go after when you pick it, which would be like Yerachus, which would actually, the title would be not Maisur Sheni, but Maisur Ani. So since the Seif, we wanted to say the term of Derech, that's why in the Reisha 2, when it's similar to the tree, we said the terminology of Derech 2. So ask the Gemara, well, Sefer Naminis Nadav, then the Sefer should have also said thing, not way. Should have said, and that an Esrog tree is similar to a Yarok in one with one thing. Why did I say one way? So that the Gemara answers on top of Gimel and Aleph, because Hasam Hakamash Malon. There, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is that it's coming to tell us the reason why we go after an Esrog tree regarding Meiser, regarding Likita, like a Yarok, not after Chanata, like the other areas that is like a regular fruit tree, is because of normative practice. Why? The darke the esrog ki yarek, because it's the normative practice that an esrog tree is like herbs. What does that mean? Ma yarek darke li gadol al kamayim, just like herbs, it's normative practice for it to grow on all types of water. In other words, not just on rainwater, but even that people draw water and pour that on the herbs. And therefore, ubishas likitusa isuroi. Therefore, regarding the meiser of Yerachus, it goes based on when you pick it. In other words, as Rashi explains from the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, the reason for Yerachus halacha of meiser is because regarding halachas of meiser, which it says in the Torah, which is actually only biblically dagon tirish v'yitzar, which is olives and grapes and grain, says goyrin v'yakev. As the pasuk says, kedagon min ha-goyrin, which tells us that just like a goyrin and a yakev, meaning regarding the wine press and the granary where you process the grain, that those three objects are specifically, they grow on what's called roiv mayim, the majority of water, which the majority of water is the rainwater that falls on it. Now, the halachas of mice regarding dagan and tirosh goes after the previous year. As the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Beis and Mabez learns out over there, where they would go based on the year that a third of it had grown on it. Not when you actually pick it, whereas it learns it out from Pesukim. So too, anything that grows on what's called Reiv Mayim, which are trees, that's how people generally have their fruits grow, is from rainwater. Their Maisa goes from the previous year when the Chanata was, when it ripened, when a third of it came through. Now, as Rashi points out, although actually the Maisa of Ilanis, of fruit trees, is only rabbinic, but they relied on, as we find on the Pasuk, that same pattern, which is, it grows on the majority of water by Dagon and Tirish, and it goes on when it brought a third. So to fruit trees, which also have the same pattern, it grows on the majority of water, which is rainwater. It's also Meiser, it's going to be from the previous year when it grew a third, again, when it had Chanata. That excludes Yerachus, which has a different pattern because it grows on what's called Kalmayim. It doesn't, you don't only use rainwater, you also draw water and you water it. Its Meister is, since you're going to water it, it's not just on when the rain season was, it's, you're going to water it all the way to the end, so it's all the way till the end, to when you're going to pick it, so you're going to base its Meister on the coming year when you pick it. So off Esrog, so that's why Esrog 2, Darkei Ligodol Al Kamayim. This is why we use the terminology of Derech, because of the Seifa. Why do we have the Esrog having that halach of Meister similar to Yerachus, based on when you pick it, not when it ripens? Is because it also has the same normative practice that it grows on the majority of water, which is not just from rainwater, but it gets watered too. You draw water and you water it. That's why Ubashas Likatusa Isuri. That's why also when you pick it, that's when the halachas of Meiser are going to be, because regards to the halachas of Meiser, that gets defined based on the criterion of what type of water does it grow on. Whereas the Gemara then Rosh Hashanah explains, so if it's Reiv Mayim, like fruit trees, that's going to be based on the previous year. If it's going to be Kalmayim, like Yerachus, which Esrog has that same Derech, that's why it's going to be based on Likitusai. When you pick it, that's what the Halach of Mais is going to be applying to. And that's why in that Mishnah we said the terminology of Liyark B'Derech Echad. So since for that Halach we said the word of Derech, so the Reisha also used the terminology of Drachim, But again, yes, so far as the Gemara had answered in the second Teretz, when we say something of Derech, there's a purpose. It's coming to tell us a certain normative process that applies to it. And again, that was the second Teretz in our Gemara. That's why, since we wanted to say Derech in our Mishnah, because we wanted to tell you that there's a certain Derech regarding Kedushin, that a man goes after a woman and not a woman going after a man. So once we said Derech, and again, as we defined before, the term Derech depends on the content of what you're discussing, if you can use masculine or feminine, since the subject of our Mishnah is the Isha, as we explained before, why do we use the woman as the subject matter? That's why we said Ha'isha Niknis B'Shalesh Drachim, and not as we usually do in the masculine of B'Shalesha Drachim or Devar.